talk now with Basil Miller, who's Director of Communications at the Wellbeing Foundation in Dunleary, and he thought he'd give us a comment about a bill that's been discussed in the shadows at the moment, which is to do with electroconvulsive therapy, which I suppose in layman terms we call it electric shock treatment or electroshock treatment. Good morning to you, Basil.
Good morning, Declan. Nice morning. To talk to you again. Well, for a start, we wouldn't describe it as a treatment at all, but basically as a barbaric form of torture. All the evidence has been piling up for years that it does not have any curative effect. At the very best, administering an electric shock to the brain gives temporary relief from some symptoms of depression. In the long term, it actually makes the subject worse. It can cause damage to the brain, to many cognitive functions, including memory. It can cause damage to the heart. And in fact, in cases of death from the administration of ECT, heart damage is one of the major causes of death. So I think that we need to say that from the start, because we're not talking about a treatment which can be compared to the administration of, say, surgery in a hospital, or treatment for diabetes, or even some drug treatments for so-called mental illnesses, psychosocial distress. We're talking about something which has been proven not to work, and yet is administered on a completely hit-and-miss basis in this country, simply on the say-so of two psychiatrists to patients who are either involuntarily detained, forcibly detained, who have been detained after having voluntarily gone to the public mental health service.
Okay, go through that consent aspect then.
Well, the consent aspect is very important, and it's simply ignored in the Mental Health Act 2001. The World Health Organization, in its publication in 2005, Human Rights and Legislation, actually requires, and I quote, that ECT should be administered only after obtaining informed consent. And this is just a minimum standard of human rights, and it doesn't apply in Ireland. That's as simple as that. It's high time that it did. And the bill which Senator Dan Boyle and then Senator Deirdre De Burka, as well as David Norris, proposed simply seeks to strike out Section 59B from the Mental Health Act 2001. And that would take away the power to administer ECT without consent. It would not mean that no one can have access to ECT. It would not even prevent psychiatrists in a public mental hospital from seeking to administer ECT to a non-consenting patient. But what it would do, it would make it incumbent on them to seek the approval of an external body. And in the world, the WHO's continuing comments on this matter, it goes on to say that it's this external review and external approval that's very important. For example, they say that any major medical or surgical procedure may be carried out on a person with mental illness only where it's permitted by domestic law, where it is considered it would best serve the health needs of the patient, and this is the nub of it here, where the patient gives informed consent. They even have an exception, except that where the patient is unable to give informed consent, the procedure shall be authorised only after independent review. Now, none of that applies in Ireland, and the good senators are seeking to make it apply. That's as simple as that.
Review body, would they have to be qualified in some sort of...
No, it's a question of judicial review, Declan, having a judicial procedure for something like this.
But you're talking about a late, making a decision on a diagnosis?
Well, let's put it this way. If you're a Jehovah's Witness and you don't want your kid to have a blood transfusion, we've seen those kind of cases, they have to go to the High Court. The hospital cannot administer the blood transfusion without a legal order to do so, which overrides the wishes of the family in that instance.
But this particular procedure armory of psychiatrists that has been...
Well, yes, but blood transfusions have been in the armory of ordinary medical doctors for decades and decades, far longer than ECT has.
But we're not talking about
people's... We're talking about people's legal rights, and people suffering from psychosocial distress are the only group of citizens in this country who can be completely deprived of their civil and legal rights and put entirely into the power of two doctors. No other group of people, no other group of medical patients can have this done to them, and it's high time it ended. Not even terrorist suspects are subjected to the same deprivation of civil and legal rights as the so-called mentally ill in this country. There's a whole other can of worms. It's available to be used simply because, excuse me, Declan, of the power of the orthodox psychiatric lobby in this country. And I'm glad to be able to say that I think the power of that lobby is diminishing. The very fact that the ex-minister, John Maloney, the Minister for Mental Health until recently, was able to conduct a review of the use of ECT and was able to force a public debate and make the College of Psychiatry in Ireland and other people come in and speak to him, along with people like ourselves, is an indication that within psychiatry itself, there's a great deal of opposition to the use of this technique. That's borne out by the figures which, year after year, the Mental Health Commission and the Inspector of Mental Hospitals releases, which shows that really when it comes to the administration of ECT, it's a lottery. It all depends where you're born. In certain districts of the public health service, your chances of being administered ECT, if you fall into the category of the so-called mentally ill, are enormously higher than in a neighbouring county. So, you know, I suppose the point I'd make in this regard as well is we have this question of stigma around mental illness and around the mental health service. And one of the prime causes of this stigma, in our view, is the fact of fear. In many parts of the country, people who have got mental problems, who have got psychological distress, fear to go near the public mental health services because they fear the kind of treatments, so-called treatments, they might get. And, you know, you can have a district such as the West Cork Mental Health Service, which never, ever administers ECT. And next door to it, if you happen to live across the border, you could be at the risk of having a long sequence of 400 volt shocks applied to your brain simply because basically the psychiatrists in charge in that district are trigger happy. Well, what we've tried to do, Declan, in our campaign in regard to this is to keep it about the matter of human rights and civil rights. I don't see, and I've heard many doctors say this to me, they would be perfectly happy with a legal framework where they would have to comply with certain procedures, go before a judge, engage in an adversarial procedure maybe with lawyers on each side before such a thing could be done to someone where they don't give their consent. Now that applies in many, many other jurisdictions. It applies in the United States. It applies to a lesser extent in our neighbours across the water. The problem with the setup here at the moment is it puts Ireland in the category absolutely of third world dictatorships in this regard. Well, it's a medical procedure against which there is no legal protection. That's the problem about it. And that's what the senators are trying to address. Now, I attended the debates in the Senate about this, and I found the senators to be very, very well informed. they had done their homework, they'd read the same, much of the same material as I had and my colleagues in the Wellbeing Foundation, whether they're lay experts like myself or qualified psychotherapists or psychiatrists, have done, and they've come to their conclusions. I hope that when this matter, if it does come to a vote, because that's not at all clear yet, it's a request from the sponsoring senators to bring it before the Senate sometime this week before it dissolves. I do hope that the senators will have an opportunity to vote on this and that they will get rid of this mark of shame on our mental health services and on our country.